How are you, mate?
Good, yourself?
All right. Just doing the mad rush around as you do on a Saturday arvo with the kids everywhere and the dog barking.
And the dog barking in the background. Hey, I want to recruit the Melbourne Victory because I reckon they've got the biggest recruitment, the quickest, I beg your pardon, recruitment drive in history. They sack coach, name interim coach, name new coach all in a week.
Yeah, they had all this going on in the background while they allowed Grant Brebner, who was the now sacked coach, to try and sort it out, and unfortunately didn't sort out. It got worse. Last week they got beaten 7-0 in the derby, which is plainly unacceptable, even if you're playing park football, let alone one reportedly one of the biggest clubs in the country. So, yeah, they had to move on that. And while this was going on, they were trying to line up their new guy because you don't sack a coach in football, or you're an idiot if you sack a coach and then try and decide what to do next.
Yep.
You have plans in place, contingencies, and Tony Popovich was that main contingency, and it took a bit of negotiating, I understand, but eventually they got him across the line. But in the meantime, there's no point in him rushing in now and trying to sort it out because they can't get relegated. They will just have Steve Keane, who used to be the Blackburn manager in the Premier League, taking over. And, Popper will come in for next season and probably have a bit more success than what they're having right now, I'd say.
Do you reckon he'd come in with a broom and just sweep and basically make a heap of changes, or do you expect him to just see how it goes over the next couple of months? Because obviously, as you say, he doesn't take charge until the next season. But what do you reckon he'll be doing at the moment?
He's going to come in and clean house.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll look at everything that's going on. He'll pay extra attention. I'm sure he was paying close attention to what was going on in the past couple of weeks, but extra attention now that he knows he's got the job. So he'll be sitting from afar. I think he's over in Europe at the moment. So, yeah, he'll be having a really good look, and he'll have a very clear idea by the time he takes over about who he wants to keep and who he wants to get rid of.
And I'm sure there'd be some nice houses being looked at as well in Melbourne, because I can just imagine him sitting over maybe a place like St Kilda or something like that, overlooking Port Phillip Bay. It'd be lovely, I'm sure. Let's get into some games that are happening this weekend. Central Coast Mariners versus Sydney FC.
This one tonight, this will be a ripper, actually. So it's little brother v big brother, Sydney FC being big brother, but at the moment little brother is being the better football side. So, yeah, it should be a great occasion, beautiful day up on the Central Coast as well. I think Central Coast in this one, I think they'll have a little too much at home. Big crowd, a bit of noise about it. Perfect setting for a game of football. And I think Central Coast will aim up.
MacArthur FC take on Melbourne City.
Yeah, I'm doing this one out at Campbelltown. I'm just about to head out there. MacArthur are hard to get a read on. Melbourne City are not. They're the best team in the competition at the moment. They're not on top of the ladder by fluke. And, yeah, I reckon they'll be too good.
Well, you just mentioned there that you're heading out to that particular game. So, a bit of a diversion question. What's involved with prepping for calling a soccer game or a football game? Like, I mean, how long do you get out there before you start getting on the mic? Is it a couple of hours? Is it half an hour before you sit down and really study what's going on?
It's half an hour if you're stuck in traffic, which happens a lot in Sydney. But, no, generally, I got a little system. So the day before, I'll do all my prep work, my research.
Yep.
So yesterday, I would have spent about 2 hours on this game. Because this stage of the year, and any caller would be the same in footy or whatever they're calling, when you're halfway point of the year onwards, you've got a deep, like a reservoir of knowledge from what's happened already. You know the stories of the players. You know who the players are. You know what their idiosyncrasies are. So that doesn't need to delve into. But you just got to stay sharp and stay up to date. And that's what I do the day before. And then the day of, I get out there. I like to spend about, I don't know, half an hour by myself in the commentary box, not talking to anyone, just kind of rehashing what I've done and maybe adding to it. And then you get the team news and you just update yourself and then you're ready to go for kickoff. So as long as you're prepared the day before, that's the key. If you don't prepare the day before, what's that famous quote?
Preparation's key or something like that?
Fail to prepare to fail.
That's it.
You make sure you do your stuff the day before and it's a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah, interesting. I've always wondered, how the process goes, because obviously what we see on TV is just, you sitting in front of the camera or vice, like, calling the game, but you just wonder how much preparation actually goes into calling a game. So I really appreciate letting us know that. Tomorrow, Brisbane Roar take on Perth Glory.
Yeah, so Anzac Day football all around, whatever code, whatever poison you got, you're covered with all the footy happening and the football as well. Brisbane at home, they were good away from home their last two, which is kind of rejuvenated their season, and Perth Glory away from home at the moment have been horrible. So I reckon Brisbane in that one.
And Wellington Phoenix take on Adelaide United.
Yeah, this is the one I'm doing down there. Adelaide have been superb. They're so good to watch. They've got a really good balance between youth and experience. And Wellington, to be fair as well, are good to watch. And earlier in the week, they really should have got something out of the game against Western United, who played half the match with 10 men. So I think Adelaide away from home, they're looking very dangerous at the moment.
Just on the Wellington situation, Adam, do you know at this stage whether they're allowed to go back home due to this travel bubble with New Zealand? And if it is the case, do you know when they're heading off? And are they even perhaps looking at a game over there?
Yeah, they're looking at two games, actually.
Okay.
But the problem is they've set themselves up essentially as Australian tax residents. So
right. They
can't just go pull up stunts, see you later. They're going to find it hard to come back and forth and back and forth. So I think they're actually going to remain based in Wollongong but travel to those games at home as if it was an away day, even though they're playing in front of home fans, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, and then at the end of the season, then they'll pack it all up and then go back permanently, get ready for next season. But yeah, really happy for them because their sacrifice, like the New Zealand Warriors in the rugby league, is just ridiculous. Like being away from home for this long, and like a lot of the players have kids and they've had to put them in schools over here because they want their family with them. It's a huge sacrifice. And they've done really well with it so far, and hopefully they can get a good result and maybe make a run to the final.
Now, normally, of course, Adam, we don't talk Premier League, but I thought I'd just touch on this. It's fair to say it's been an interesting week in the Premier League.
Mate, remarkable story. The 12 clubs that basically wanted to go off and create their own midweek competition in opposition to the existing Champions League. So they didn't want to jump out, these 12 clubs, six of them from England being Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City and Liverpool. The six massive clubs.
So I was going to say six struggling clubs. Yeah, six struggling clubs.
Yeah, battlers. All owned by billionaires. And the billionaires decided that they want to be richer and make their own kind of cartel competition where they can keep all the money to themselves. And it just, there was a massive backlash to it. It was extraordinary what the reaction was. I thought it was going to be controversial when I initially heard about it, but I didn't know it was going to have the kind of real edge to the hatred towards the idea. And it's good. It's people standing up for themselves and they got rid of the idea for now. So it'll continue as normal as can be. But a lot of rich people got a reality check through the week.
And very, very quickly they did indeed. Hey, Adam, really do appreciate your time this afternoon on the Sideline View.
Cheers, Daniel. Have a good one.